Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. We're doing a book study on this book written by Eckhart Tolle, and we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are in Chapter 8, Section 5, Enlightened Relationships, Relationships as a Spiritual Practice. All right. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you.
This is going to be good. I got that feeling.
Yeah.
Yep. As the egoic mode of consciousness and all the social, political, and economic structures that it created enter the final stage of collapse, the relationships between men and women reflect the deep state of crisis in which humanity now finds itself. As humans have become increasingly identified with their mind, most relationships are not rooted in being, and so turn into a source of pain and become dominated by problems and conflict. All social, political, and economic structures that it created enter the final stage of collapse. I'm like, how timely is that with what's happening in the world today? And this book was written quite some time ago, originally published in 1997. Here we are, 20 odd years later. And he is saying the social, political, and economic structures are in the final stage of collapse. And I couldn't agree more today. So, very, very interesting. Okay. Wow.
Millions are now living alone or as single parents, unable to establish an intimate relationship or unwilling to repeat the insane drama of past relationships. Others go from one relationship to another, from one pleasure and pain cycle to another, in search of the elusive goal of fulfillment through union with the opposite energy polarity. Still, others compromise and continue to be together in dysfunctional relationship, which negativity prevails for the sake of the children or security, through force of habit, fear of being alone, or some other mutually beneficial arrangement, or even through the unconscious addiction to the excitement of emotional drama and pain.
However, every crisis represents not only danger, but also opportunity. If relationships energize and magnify egoic mind patterns and activate the pain body, as they do at this time, why not accept this fact rather than try to escape from it? Why not cooperate with it instead of avoiding relationships or continuing to pursue the phantom of an ideal partner as an answer to your problems or a means of feeling fulfilled? The opportunity that is concealed within every crisis does not manifest until all the facts of any given situation are acknowledged and fully accepted. As long as you deny them, as long as you try to escape from them or wish that things were different, the window of opportunity does not open up and you remain trapped inside that situation, which will remain the same or deteriorate further.
With the acknowledgement and acceptance of the facts also comes a degree of freedom from them. For example, when you know there is disharmony and you hold that knowing, through your knowing, a new factor has come in, and the disharmony cannot remain unchanged. When you know you are not at peace, your knowing creates a still space that surrounds your non-peace in a loving and tender embrace, and then transmutes your non-peace into peace. As far as inner transformation is concerned, there is nothing you can do about it. You cannot transform yourself, and you certainly cannot transform your partner or anybody else. All you can do is create a space for transformation to happen, for grace and love to enter. So whenever your relationship is not working, whenever it brings out the madness in you and in your partner, be glad. What was unconscious is being brought up to the light. It is an opportunity for salvation. Every moment, hold the knowing of that moment, particularly of your inner state. If there is anger, know that there is anger. If there is jealousy, defensiveness, the urge to argue, the need to be right, an inner child demanding love and attention, or emotional pain of any kind, whatever it is, know the reality of that moment and hold the knowing. The relationship then becomes your sadhana, your spiritual practice. If you observe unconscious behavior in your partner, hold it in the loving embrace of your knowing so that you won't react. Unconsciousness and knowing cannot coexist for long, even if the knowing is only in the other person and not in the one who is acting out the unconsciousness. The energy form that lies behind hostility and attack finds the presence of love absolutely intolerable. If you react at all to your partner's unconsciousness, you become unconscious yourself. But if you then remember to know your reaction, nothing is lost.
That is so true. And reminds me when my happily ever after and I first met, you know, things weren't always completely smooth. We had our honeymoon effect where everything was great. And then there would be situations that would arise where I could feel in my body, I could feel the energy, I'll call it the pain body. I could feel that coming up within me. And instead of engaging that, I was consciously aware of it. And I would go for a walk. And I took many walks in the beginning of our relationship.
Yeah.
But it was being aware that, ooh, that's not really anything that he's doing. That's something that's inside of me that needs to be resolved. The only way to resolve that is for me to get out and get at peace with it. So I would separate the energy, meaning I'd go for a walk by myself, and I would tune into nature, and I would get present with that feeling, and then let it transmute and dissolve and disappear. And then I could go back into the situation and we could have a conversation about what happened and, you know, what we'd like to happen in the future differently.
Yeah, you come together consciously. That's
yes,
beautiful.
Yes. We had a conscious meeting after that, which was great. You know, and I love, like he says, nothing is lost, because those were painful moments that arose, and something that he did triggered that within me, you know. And it wasn't necessarily that he was out of line or doing something wrong. It was something that came up and caused something within me to be triggered, so that I needed to look at it. So nothing was lost in that, because I was able to find something else that was within me that needed to be resolved and dealt with.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Because I think a lot of times people feel that feeling. They're like, hey, you made me feel this way. This is your fault.
Exactly. How dare you?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my reality, gosh. You just go inside.
Yeah.
And maybe find out where that came from.
Right.
Within you.
And I think the gift of allowing the energy to be transmuted, you don't really have to know where it came from. You just need to know that it's there. And once you recognize that you have that energy within your body, you can tune into it and let it transmute, you know, breathe into it, just be with it, put all your attention on it. Like Eckhart Tolle says, be present.
Ride the wave.
That's right. And the presence transmutes it and it disappears. It's just a beautiful thing to do. And it's such a gracious way to eliminate pain. You don't have to numb it with alcohol, drugs, or whatever, you know, or find another person to numb the out with. You just tune into it, put your presence on it, and it disappears by itself. It's not an external process, let's put it that way. It's all internal. It has everything to do with you being able to be present and putting that attention on it.
That's right. And sometimes while you're transmuting that feeling, it could be very intense. And sometimes when that happens, I just take a nap after, because it's like, it's that strong, you know. But once you transmute it, you just kind of get into that peaceful place. And then when you take a nap, you wake up, you're in a new level of consciousness, if you will. So I find myself being.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Excellent way to see it is, okay, time for a nap. And then you wake up, and that, I love that. I love what you just said.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's really cool. Humanity is under great pressure to evolve because it is our only chance of survival as a race. This will affect every aspect of your life and close relationships in particular. Never before have relationships been as problematic and conflict-ridden as they are now. As you may have noticed, they are not here to make you happy or fulfilled. If you continue to pursue the goal of salvation through a relationship, you will be disillusioned again and again. But if you accept that the relationship is here to make you conscious instead of happy, then the relationship will offer you salvation, and you will be aligning yourself with the higher consciousness that wants to be born into this world. For those who hold on to the old patterns, there will be increasing pain, violence, confusion, and madness.
I suppose that it takes two to make a relationship into a spiritual practice, as you suggest. For example, my partner is still acting out his old patterns of jealousy and control. I have pointed this out many times, but he is unable to see it. And then he says, how many people does it take to make your life into a spiritual practice? Never mind if your partner will not cooperate. Sanity, consciousness, can only come into this world through you. You do not need to wait for the world to become sane or for somebody else to become conscious before you can be enlightened. You may wait forever. Do not accuse each other of being unconscious. The moment you start to argue, you have identified with the mental position and are now defending not only that position, but also your sense of self. The ego is in charge. You have become unconscious. At times, it may be appropriate to point out certain aspects of your partner's behavior. If you are very alert, very present, you can do so without ego involvement, without blaming, accusing, or making the other wrong.
When your partner behaves unconsciously, relinquish all judgment. Judgment is either to confuse someone's unconscious behavior with who they are, or to project your own unconscious onto another person and mistake that for who they are. To relinquish judgment does not mean that you do not recognize dysfunction and unconsciousness when you see it. It means being the knowing rather than being the reaction and the judge. You will then either be totally free of reaction, or you may react and still be the knowing, the space in which the reaction is watched and allowed to be. Instead of fighting the darkness, you bring in the light. Instead of reacting to delusion, you see the delusion, yet at the same time, look through it. Being the knowing creates a clear space of loving presence that allows all things and all people to be as they are. No greater catalyst for transformation exists. If you practice this, your partner cannot stay with you and remain unconscious.
If you both agree that the relationship will be your spiritual practice, so much the better. You can then express your thoughts and feelings to each other as soon as they occur, or as soon as a reaction comes up, so that you do not create a time gap in which an unexpressed or unacknowledged emotion or grievance can fester and grow. Learn to give expression to what you feel without blaming. Learn to listen to your partner in an open, non-defensive way. Give your partner space for expressing himself or herself. Be present. Accusing, defending, attacking, all those patterns that are designed to strengthen or protect the ego or to get its needs met will then become redundant. Giving space to others and to yourself is vital. Love cannot flourish without it. When you have removed the two factors that are destructive to relationships, when the pain body has been transmuted and you are no longer identified with mind and mental positions, and if your partner has done the same, you will experience the bliss of the flowering of relationship. Instead of mirroring each other, your pain and your unconsciousness, instead of satisfying your mutual addictive ego needs, you will reflect back to each other the love that you feel deep within, the love that comes with the realization of your oneness with all that is. This is the love that has no opposite.
Beautiful. Love it. Oh my gosh. If your partner is still identified with the mind and the pain body while you are already free, this will represent a major challenge, not to you, but to your partner. It is not easy to live with an enlightened person. Or rather, it is so easy that the ego finds it extremely threatening. Remember that the ego needs problems, conflict, and enemies to strengthen the sense of separateness on which its identity depends. The unenlightened partner's mind will be deeply frustrated because its fixed positions are not resisted, which means they will become shaky and weak. And there is even the danger that they may collapse altogether, resulting in loss of self. The pain body is demanding feedback and not getting it. The need for argument, drama, and conflict is not being met. But beware, some people who are unresponsive, withdrawn, insensitive, or cut off from their feelings may think and try to convince others that they are enlightened, or at least that there's nothing wrong with them and everything wrong with their partner. Men tend to do that more than women. They may see their female partners as irrational or emotional, but if you can feel your emotions, you are not far from the radiant inner body just underneath. If you are mainly in your head, the distance is much greater, and you need to bring consciousness into the emotional body before you can reach the inner body.
If there isn't an emanation of love and joy, complete presence and openness towards all beings, then it is not enlightenment. Another indicator is how a person behaves in difficult or challenging situations or when things go wrong. If your enlightenment is egoic self-delusion, then life will soon give you a challenge that will bring out your unconsciousness in whatever form, as fear, anger, defensiveness, judgment, depression, and so on. If you are in a relationship, many of your challenges will come through your partner. For example, a woman may be challenged by an unresponsive male partner who lives almost entirely in his head. She will be challenged by his inability to hear her, to give her attention and space to be, which is due to his lack of presence. The absence of love in the relationship, which is usually more keenly felt by a woman than a man, will trigger the woman's pain body, and through it, she will attack her partner, blame, criticize, make wrong, and so on. This, in turn, now becomes his challenge to defend himself against her pain body's attack, which he sees as totally unwarranted. He will become even more deeply entrenched in his mental positions as he justifies, defends himself, or counterattacks. Eventually, this may activate his own pain body. When both partners have thus been taken over, a level of deep unconsciousness has been reached, of emotional violence, savage attack, and counterattack. It will not subside until both pain bodies have replenished themselves and then enter the dormant stage. Until next time.
This is only one of an endless number of possible scenarios. Many volumes have been written, and many more could be written, about the ways in which unconsciousness is brought out in the male-female relationships. But as I said earlier, once you understand the root of the dysfunction, you do not need to explore its countless manifestations.
Let's briefly look again at the scenario I have just described. Every challenge that it contains is actually a disguised opportunity for salvation. At every stage of the unfolding dysfunctional process, freedom from the unconsciousness is possible. For example, the woman's hostility could become a signal for the man to come out of his mind-identified state, awaken into the now, become present, instead of becoming even more identified with his mind, even more unconscious. Instead of being the pain body, the woman could be the knowing that watches the emotional pain in herself, thus accessing the power of now and initiating the transmutation of the pain. This would remove the compulsive and automatic outward projection of it. She could then express her feelings to her partner. There is no guarantee, of course, that he will listen, but it gives him a good chance to become present and certainly breaks the insane cycle of the involuntary acting out of the old mind patterns. If the woman misses that opportunity, the man could watch his own mental emotional reaction to her pain, his own defensiveness, rather than being the reaction. He could then watch his own pain body being triggered and thus bring consciousness into his emotions. In this way, a clear and still space of pure awareness would come into being, the knowing, the silent witness, the watcher. This awareness does not deny the pain and yet is beyond it. It allows the pain to be and yet transmutes it at the same time. It accepts everything and transforms everything. A door would have opened up for her through which she could easily join him in that space.
If you are consistently or at least predominantly present in your relationship, this will be the greatest challenge for your partner. They will not be able to tolerate your presence for very long and stay unconscious. If they are ready, they will walk through the door that you opened for them and join you in that state. If they are not, you will separate like oil and water. The light is too painful for someone who wants to remain in darkness. All I can say is, yeah, deep breath.
Yeah. Okay,
take a deep breath. Breathe. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. Another brilliant section of this book by Eckhart Tolle. It's an honor to have you here. We hope we see you next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Bye for now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation and perhaps even earn a credential as a certified spiritual coach, we encourage you to go to our website, lifecoachtrainingonline.com, and check out our courses, or give us a call at 800-711-4346.